Welcome to the Debrief Podcast, and we're really sorry there wasn't one last week.
We're very sorry.
I've been a mess without you guys.
I've been fine. Yeah, I've been absolutely
Tessa
fine.
Tessa was actually, if anything, better.
Yes, I was.
It was just, we'd fully lost it.
It was ironically on time, and we were late.
Oh.
The irony has not been lost on us. It had to be on time. It was actually very interesting. And it's coming out in the future. But we're very, very sorry. And thank you for bearing with us. And
if this is the first time that you're listening to the Debrief Podcast, this is the Debrief Podcast.
This is the Debrief Podcast.
Stevie.
Me, Tessa.
And we're just really on it.
Today's episode is about ethical fashion.
Yes, it's about ethical fashion. And that shows you how much I know. I don't know anything about ethical fashion. And Tessa, being the legend that she is, has really brought her A game and done a lot of research on it. I'm here. Hello.
Stevie is also
I've
here.
Certainly turned up. Now, we want to ask producer Tom what he thinks ethical fashion is. Tom, what do you think ethical fashion is?
So I've been thinking.
Oh, okay.
I think is it how short should a skirt be? How low should a top go?
Oh, wow.
Go?
Okay.
How low should a top go?
Yeah. Is that what we're going to be talking about?
Wow. Okay.
No.
What part?
Oh.
What? No.
Tessa, would you like to explain what ethical fashion
yes,
is?
Yes, ethical fashion is about the ethics of the entire fashion industry and the impact.
Tom's really getting it now.
He's really nodding like, yeah, I see now.
That's more of a podcast, isn't
that
it?
That makes more sense.
Yeah. It's about the ethics of particularly the fast fashion industry and the current state of the world and how every single stage of the chain is impacting both human and environmental life.
But I wanted to also add that I'm really happy that we're doing this because I think it's more of a, like quite a lot of our podcasts are like, how to insert something. Not how to insert something.
Yes, this is one of the ones we've done.
How to insert something. How to do something.
Yes.
Whereas this one is sort of, we found out some things and we want to tell you because it's very important. And I think this is one of those, we're going to have some tips as well, how you can get into ethical fashion without spending like £5,000 a day.
Well, there are a lot of how-tos. It is how you can contribute and as you're about to discover how you can,
oh my God,
how you can play your part. But it's also something that a lot of people have asked for and we're listening.
Oh yeah, also I should add that because it might get quite intense at some places, I don't know, because I don't know about it, but I have a feeling, you know, we'll learn some quite sad things. It'll be a real journey. I thought I could intersperse the podcast, sort of lighten the mood when necessary, with some kick-ass and interesting facts about clocks. Tessa's really upset about this, but actually there's some genuinely great clock facts, and I think that's what people need.
Do you want to tell me what adult thing you did this week?
I can now correctly identify one constellation in the night sky.
Oh, that's fantastic, actually.
Yeah, it's the plough. It's the one that everyone knows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I didn't know it for a long time. And often people would like go, there's the plough. And I'd be like, great. And I would nod and not see it. And now, the other day, I definitely saw it. And it was it, and I confirmed that it was it, and so now I can correctly identify the plough.
So you, this is just for the timeline, for everyone
Absolutely,
to be clear.
Please.
You were walking along, you said, I think that's the
plough. I think that's the
plough. Somebody said, that's the
plough. That's the plough. I also have an app which you can point your phone at the plough to tell you if
so
it's the
plough. Oh, so that's how you know about the, do you know any others?
Working on it. It's very, no. But start with the plough, because it's always in the night sky.
I tell you what, you can literally start with the plough. The North Star.
Oh, yes, because that's the one on the, one of them.
No, it's not on the plough itself, but just so close, but just carry on
points.
Up.
It points. It's our points.
If you imagine the plough like a frying pan, the
handle.
When you finish drawing, no, the other way.
Oh
so
my
handle,
God, I'm really...
You only had two. So handle, frying pan, up to the North Star.
Handle, frying pan, up to the North Star.
Just
right.
Carry on that line straight up and there's the North Star and then straight on till morning.
I'll practice
Orion,
that.
Orion, do you think you get Orion?
Orion's three knob.
No, it's not called Orion's knob.
Oh.
Orion's belt.
Yes, but it looks a bit like a knob, doesn't it?
No.
Yes.
It's three. Oh my God, you're thinking of Orion's sword, which hangs on his belt.
The thing is, it's possible that someone said that as a joke, like, oh, Orion's knob. And I've been like, cool, Orion's knob.
Oh, wow.
Great. I don't think that was particularly adult, but either way, what's your adult thing?
I think that's really great. I've got two.
Oh, for God's sake. God. Can you just save one for next week or something?
No, because I've got to tell you now.
Okay.
Well, I've got to tell, one's time pertinent and one is relevant to the topic.
Crap,
so
okay.
The time pertinent one is that the daffodils are in the supermarket. Oh, I
bought some.
Yes, quick.
The
daffodils are currently £1 in the supermarket.
Yes, lovely.
And if you're there at the end of the day in the supermarket, they're 25p.
Amazing.
I've got daffodils in milk jars and all around the house. So do look that up in your own time, everyone.
Great. And then the other adult thing you've done?
Yes. I sewed my jumper. That blue jumper I have, it's like ragged.
It's got so many holes in it.
So just like ruined. It's this old linen jumper that was, I think, designer, but I bought it for 50p from a car boot sale when it was already a bit tatty, and now there's nothing left. And I was like, this is probably the end of the days for this. Mm. Au contraire, I found some cotton that was the same colour and I sewed it up.
Oh, that's good.
And I feel $1 million.
I can't wait to actually see it.
Yes.
Right, so ethical fashion. Where are we going to start, Tessa?
What is it?
How can I do it?
Okay, fantastic. And so thank you so much for asking.
Thank you.
So ethical fashion is a movement, a
lifestyle.
A lifestyle choice. It is in the last couple of years, at every level, designers, brands, everybody is starting to say, this has gone awry.
This
is out of control and everyone needs to rethink. And so ethical fashion is a mindset of being like, okay, how can we address this and how can I individually make an impact?
Okay.
And stop doing some damage. So I'm going to start with some sweet facts.
Okay, about clocks.
No, you're in charge of clocks and mine are in charge of the thing the topic is about.
Okay.
So last year, we bought, as a planet, 80 billion new pieces of clothing.
Hmm.
80 billion.
Okay. Happy clothing?
Just clothing.
Okay.
We bought 80 billion new pieces of clothing last year.
Okay.
And that is 400 times more than 20 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So in the last 20 years, what we now call fast fashion has just exploded in a sort of exponential way.
Yeah.
In a way that nobody saw coming and nobody can really keep up with. And now it has had such an intense impact that people are trying to be like, oh, whoa now. Mm-hmm. And it turns out you are totally in control of, it feels like that horse is just a runaway juggernaut, but we can go get that horse back.
Oh, great. Okay.
We can get it back. So don't panic. Even though it's going to feel quite intense, we can absolutely get it back. And so up until the 1960s, America made 90% of its clothing.
Mm.
And now it makes less than 3.
Oh, wow.
So, and that is pretty much universal for all of the Western world, that everyone, you know, in sort of like all the factory mills that were happening, you know.
Mm, everyone closed down.
They all got closed down.
I watched a documentary about cotton mills in Paisley.
Certainly. Certainly. And what happened to them?
They're not there anymore. And I questioned the way I spent my time.
Right. Why aren't they there anymore?
Because there was no demand, because they're being outsourced to like cheaper places.
If we can buy it for a tenth of the price from somewhere else, then why would we bother having the cotton mill in Paisley?
Yeah. I'm wearing Primark jeans and I'm concerned that's going to be a problem as we move through the podcast.
It may, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
It may. As we progress, those jeans may feel dirtier and dirtier.
They'll just start falling off.
They may gently
with embarrassment.
Be like, it's not for me, this
I think
one.
I'll go back to the shop.
Don't worry, I've got Marks and Spencer's pants on and they bad.
I've got charity shop pants on.
Of
course I haven't. I just wanted to say that.
That is the worst thing I've ever heard. That is horrible.
They sell them. They sell bras in charity shops. And you're like,
I've seen that, but I've
never
seen a pair.
Put my boob in where someone else's boob's been.
No, boob. Keep your boobs afresh.
Yeah.
Almost the entire Western world exports 97% of its, imports. Yes, imports. We're buying stuff in.
Mm.
Cheap labour. So 40 million people are involved in the garment production industry and they are not making clothes that they themselves can buy.
Right.
People were aware that it was happening because demand was just increasing. Shopping was becoming a hobby. The rise of the internet. We were buying things online. You see those like haul videos or people making reviews. Like people were just consuming
But also on like Facebook, you know, when you get those targeted advertising, there's one that keeps coming up like Romwe.
Oh yeah, yeah, I get Romwe.
Romwe, and there's lots of other ones. And you go through and it's like, you know, £4 for like a full going out dress. I like Googled them and loads of people have done like, this is what I thought I was buying and this is what I got.
Yeah,
and it's
like
the size of a doll.
Yeah.
Or like one sleeve is on the floor and the other sleeve is not there. I mean, I guess they're not ethical. That's that thing of like, it's so in your face all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I know about Romwe.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known that.
No, exactly. It's so there. You're being targeted constantly and we are being sold and there is so much. If you do want to, for example, watch a documentary about the Paisley cotton industry.
I wouldn't recommend that. It was actually quite boring.
Or some other ones, you know, look into things about like documentaries on like minimalism or consumerism or how we're being sold in 2018, we're being sold this illusion that the more things we have, the happier we are.
Yeah.
And even though consistently, time and again, all these studies come out being like, there is a clear correlation between amount of stuff and decreasing mental health and like and sadness and
I know it and we're talking about it now, but like I did a job and I'm working too hard this week and I was like, I'm gonna buy
so
myself
working too hard.
I am though, as in like I've got too much on, it's too much, bought myself some fast fashion because that will make me happy, but I know it doesn't, but it does for a second.
Absolutely.
But
so we live in this world of being like, oh, I'll treat myself and I'll get myself a self-care thing. Exactly. And now, in a way that the fashion industry used to have pretty much, it used to have two seasons. It used to have its winter and its summer collection. Winter and summer, and then it became winter, summer, spring, autumn collection. And now they exist on pretty much a 52 season cycle a year. So pretty much every week there is a new capsule collection. And if you go into any sort of shop on the high street, things are changing at like that level.
Yeah.
And that's what fast fashion is. That it's just like, rather than in a way that once you could have gone into a shop and those things would have been there pretty much for 6 months, now they're gone. It's just like, buy it now. It's just like, it's just capitalism and consumerism at its like absolute peak. Everyone trying to undercut each other. And so if Romwea is selling it for £2, somewhere along the production line, somebody has to be constantly cutting corners. And so the quality of the thing goes down, the quality of production goes down, the quality of the fabric goes down. And right at the end, the people making that garment inherently have to be making less money.
Well, they don't get paid. Do they get paid? I don't even know the stats, but they get paid so little, don't they?
Yes. So now if you look at like, so that's us at one end, and at right at the other end of the scale, we've got the people, those 40 million people working in the garment industry, producing the things. And they are from Bangladesh and Cambodia and India and places whose like 90% of their exports are fashion and garment industry. So it becomes like a huge part of the entire country's industry is founded on. Everything is based around this. You know, and obviously it's like relative to how much it costs to like stay alive, in how much the live, you know, it costs to be living in there, but they're making roughly about $2 a day. So that's what people make, but you know, you don't know what, how much it costs to live in, you don't know what the cost of rent is. So
like,
I'm saying like,
bread might be like 1 cent.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm saying there is an element of relativity to understand in the $2 a day, but you are correct to gasp. Like it is not
it's
an
still
acceptable
not
amount of money.
Okay, yeah.
There are some people, the general estimate is that people are making about €38 a month. Like people are making an unbelievably small amount of money. And they can, because there is no sense. If people say like, can we get paid more? They're like, no, and now you've lost your job because there is a queue of 10 people outside who want to work in this industry. There's an unlimited number of people who will work for a tiny amount because they know that if they say anything, there's no place for them.
Yeah, well, it's better than many of the alternatives, I suppose, in some countries that have like, well, like Cambodia is quite unstable and
yes,
there's
absolutely.
A lot of like,
and
drugs
exactly
and
that thought is the one we're going to return to.
Oh,
so put a pin on that exact thought.
Unstable Cambodia.
Yes, put a pin
every
in it.
Day. I got to put a pin in that thought.
Yeah, you've got to. So that's the state of things. And so let's move now. We have to go to 2013, which is the beginning of this fashion revolution and it becoming much more like prevalent. And the idea of ethical fashion like comes to the forefront in a way that it was with lots of people. And there were lots of companies trying to do good things. And but then it becomes like it like rockets to the forefront in 2013, because that is when the Rana Plaza building collapses.
Okay.
In Dhaka, in Bangladesh, that a 5-story building just collapsed.
And it's full of workers,
isn't it? It's completely full of workers. And in total, 1,134 people were killed.
Oh, my God.
And so as a building, it was an example of like exactly the problem that was going on, because it was a commercial building. It used to be a house that was just taken over and was like, cram up people in. And they built, the top 3 floors had all been built in the last year. So people were just built, like build, get more people in, get more people in. The actual workers were being well looked after and paid a reasonable wage and like had an all right time. Nobody even thought to check like the buildings. The guy who owns the place is actually in jail, because the day before, when everybody left, there were cracks appearing in the side of the wall, and he insisted that everyone return to work or they would all lose their jobs. And so everyone was made to come back in.
I'm glad
even
he's
though,
in jail.
Even
he sounds
though,
like a bell end.
Yeah. So,
what sort of shops were those people creating clothes for?
Great question, Stevie.
Thank you.
I certainly, before I started looking into this, had in my mind that Primark, for example, had its own factories.
Yeah.
And we were all like, oh, there's probably
like
some
H&M and Zara.
Yeah,
H&M. Whatever.
This is the H&M factory. Yeah. And it's like, oh, we're like, oh, probably full of children. Mm. Like, it was under dreadful conditions. So in my mind, this was the Primark factory.
Mm.
Actually, no brands at all own a factory.
Oh.
So there are no Primark factories. There are no H&M factories. There are no that. It's just the chain of supply. There is a garment factory. So I own my garment factory, your Primark, and you say, we need 100 pairs of jeans. And I say, coming up, boss. And then I give them to my workers and I deliver you the 100 pairs of jeans.
So they could be doing that for any high street.
Any high street brand. And regularly a designer brand sits beside a Primark brand on the, so because it's not just your 100 jeans that you've got in today. We've got hundreds of different orders coming through from loads of different places.
God.
And easily the same people could be working the morning on some Primark clothes and in the evening on some Stella McCartney.
That's mad.
Yeah.
That's the maddest thing I've heard.
Yes.
In a long time.
Because I think you would get in our heads that, like, because Stella McCartney is so expensive, and not to throw Stella McCartney under the bus.
No, she's great.
Because she is trying to do some good things and has really got on board with, like, you know, ethical sourcing and trying to be doing a great job. But we have in our head, like, oh, well, it costs so much money. It's sort of because, like, Stella sewed it herself. We're like, oh, it must be handmade by somebody.
But it is better quality. It is better quality. So where's the quality happening then?
The quality is happening in the... It is happening.
Next stage.
It's happening. No, it is happening. Like, it's better fabric. It's a better design.
Right,
it's better. The actual things are better. And actually, like, often for a really high-end designer, it will actually be a more... what's the word when somebody is... more highly qualified factory. So
right,
you might have to be a better quality of worker.
But it's still not okay often.
No,
right.
But also crucially, you would, if you'd made a mistake, you would go back or you would redo that. Whereas when you're making really, really fast stuff, it's just send it off.
Right.
Which is why sometimes the Primark, you know, you've got like threads coming out and...
Of course, yes. That wouldn't be acceptable for a Stella McCartney.
So
everything is done a little bit better.
There's less of it. It's less of that insane industrial production that you can imagine trying to happen when they're trying to make, you know, a million pairs of something. T-shirt, making a limited collection is only 1,000 pairs of these, then we can afford to take the time and make them good and make them correct. And also the fabric is better, the design, all of those things.
Yeah.
But the factory itself and those workers are still generally being paid a very similar amount. So in that one factory, the one that collapsed was Benetton, Bon Marché, The Children's Place, and some of these will be French and places we don't know, El Corte Inglés, Joe Fresh, Monsoon, Mango, Matalan, Primark and Walmart. So Primark is the one that everyone just threw under the bus because that to us is the, you know, whereas in fact they were right beside
like Mango. Yeah.
And Bon Marché and Benetton. And Benetton actually, because all of those companies then contributed to a fund to help the people who'd been affected and killed and lost families. And Benetton is the only one that refused to admit it had been was in the factory.
Because it's embarrassed.
Is embarrassed and has still refused to contribute, even though they found...
Oh my God, don't shop at Benetton.
Even though they found paperwork from Benetton in the factory. Like in the
Dear
bubble.
Factory, we love being in you, Benetton.
Yeah, exactly. This is
oh
the Benetton, yeah.
Oh God, right, well, I mean, I don't ever wear Benetton, but if you do, oh my God.
Yeah, so reconsider.
I'm sure I'm going to reconsider literally everything after the end of this. Right, okay, that's horrifying.
Yeah.
What are they doing about it?
Yes, so as a result, particularly of this, like, it became to the fore of, like, this has gone mad.
Yeah.
Like, here is this enormous death toll that is the direct result.
I talk about a tragedy has to always happen.
Yeah.
Was it have to like hit rock bottom before you can go up?
So as a result, all the big brands got much better about factory safety, about understanding factory worker standards, about safety, about wages.
It's like a minimum wage now.
There's a minimum wage being introduced, but one of the main issues is that, and this is why it's like such an infinitely complex and awful problem, is like if people are like campaigning, and brands are like at the forefront of this, are campaigning like the Bangladesh government to up the wages across the board, like minimum wage has to go up. But Bangladesh knows that if it does that and it's now $4 a day, Cambodia is still three, and therefore it loses all of that because it knows that people will go to Cambodia. And so then it becomes this like trust game of Bangladesh being like, but will you promise to stay here?
Oh,
and then being like,
I love Bangladesh.
Yeah, and then everyone being like, and then, yeah, for example, and then brands being like, yes, we promise.
Like,
yeah,
like if you're making this big deal about like campaigning the government,
yeah,
then I guess those brands will stay, but it's the Romways of the world.
Yes, exactly.
And the Boohoo
and the misguided.com and all of this
pretty
stuff.
PrettyLittleThing.com.
And PrettyLittleThing.com.
I mean, I can't, maybe they are ethical. I literally don't know.
We can be,
okay.
No.
One that is ethical is Nobody's Child, and that feels like it shouldn't be, but it is. And it's also, what's great about it, it's cheap. Also fully sourced in a good way.
How do you know that?
Because that's their selling point.
Yes, exactly. So like brands have got on board with the idea that that's something people care about in a way that if a couple of years ago you'd said to me, nobody's child is actually really well sourced. I'd be like,
shut
up. What does that mean?
Yeah. It's the same thing that, like, the eating clean thing means that now, like, hula hoops put on their branding, like, contains vitamin D a bit, because everyone wants to be healthy. Yeah. Gluten free. You're like, yes, you're crisps.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Many crisps, though, do have flour in order to pack out the potato. Yeah, exactly right. That, like, now they're aware that, like, people are asking questions.
Mm.
If no one's actually asked you about it, you didn't actually lie. And if you go on Primark's website, they are really, really committed. They have a whole 100 strong ethical trade and environmental sustainability team, which loads of places don't have. You know, we have in our mind being like, oh, Marks and Spencer's are good, or these people are good. Like, loads of massive brands that we would think were nicer don't have anything like this.
Mm.
Primark are really, because they're so called out on being like, how's this t-shirt 50p, please?
Yeah.
Because people are making a fuss. Primark are like, here are the answers. And then people are like, oh.
But you still can't buy things from Primark?
You can. That's what I'm saying. It's like,
oh, so because they are actually doing
They are
nice
doing a great job.
Okay.
I'll come back to it, but there's a website called Fashion Revolution who are huge about this, and they celebrate on the anniversary of Rana Plaza in Ethical Fashion Week, which is the end of April. And they have like a whole website and booklets and things that you can do and how you can get involved and how you can join the revolution. So it's all there. So can I return to your point about, like, well, that seems quite a nice job, being in a factory in Cambodia.
Right, I don't think that was quite the angle that I went for.
What was your angle?
My angle was, I guess, that very bad job
is
preferable to some countries where the drug trade is the thing that you would ordinarily go into.
Yes. Also, my point, my thought, and I was like, well, actually, when you see these factories, you're like, oh, very nice. And like, a lot of them are women. And you're like, oh, quite cool that people like can do a job. But unfortunately, that narrative is something that brands really relied on in the early days to be like, look.
It's not drugs.
It's not. Hello. It's not drugs.
It's a sock, guys.
Come on. Like, look, they're sat down all day. They're dry. There's a roof. Like, what do you want?
Right.
And so, if we sort of go deeper into that, be like, that has become the only available job in this like entirely destroyed environment, and everything is corrupt. There's absolutely no unions. You can't do anything. If you attempt to complain, you get beaten up. Like, there's a lot of like very intense stuff going on.
Mm.
And because of that illusion of like, oh, nice.
Yeah.
Come on. You know, we don't really look in detail because it's sort of horrifying to look. We're like, we'd rather not.
Yeah.
I'd rather not look. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I'm ready for a clock fact, please.
They're not going to bring us back, guys.
At the beginning of this, Stevie was like, it'll be fine. I'll say some fun clock facts. And I was like, I'll be honest, I feel too deep in.
Okay. I'll give two, because if you don't like one, you might like the other one.
Great.
Don't know. The way that they adjust the time in London's Big Ben...
Yes.
Is using pennies, because a single penny can change the pendulum center of mass and alter the time by 0.4 seconds a day. So they load it with pennies. If it's off a bit, that means that the pennies are off.
Is he hollow? Can he
Yeah, he's basically hollow. So you can't just go up there and just do it. Obviously, there's some sort of like penny man.
Yeah.
Like, the Big Ben penny man who does it, which I thought was cool.
I love that.
And then an institute in Colorado created a clock so accurate it will never lose or gain a second in 20 million years. And this is the clock used for internet time.
Holy shit.
Right? I'm so glad that went well.
I really like those.
Great, okay. And if you're listening at home, you're like, God, I want more clock facts. You wait until we've got through the next bit.
Yeah, you wait until this next harrowing section, and then it's clocks again, people.
Clocks away.
So the human element is obviously a colossal part of the fashion problem.
Mm.
The other part...
The horse element.
...is, of course, the horse problem.
Too many horses,
guys. There's just too many horses in fashion.
So I'm trying to lighten the mood because I'm just terrified.
So hard.
Go on. What's the problem?
It's the environment.
Oh, God. No, I can't. We've already done an environment podcast.
I know.
Just hit me with some depressing facts. I'll just say the word clock in between each of them.
Okay. So... something that we, I think, are very lucky not to have. Like, I mean, the more you see about like awful stuff happening in America, the more you're like, holy shit, we're so lucky in this country.
Yeah, we're fine.
But one of the main things we're really lucky of, one of the top 10 things we should count our blessings, is that Monsanto doesn't exist in this country.
What's Monsanto?
Monsanto is this huge, huge pharmaceutical and what's it called if you are like a biotech?
Conglomerate.
Yes, oh. Conglomerate, exactly right. A biotech. And they are, you know, trying to make a plant that can make, that has 100 tomatoes on it. You know, that
oh,
shit.
Oh, right. Genetically modified stuff.
Thank you. That is the word I'm looking for. They're big time genetically modifying stuff. Like, how can we produce the most in the smallest amount of time?
Right.
In principle, you're like,
stoneless avocados, for example.
For example, like, let's make this shit. And in principle, you're like, okay, not an unreasonable thing to be trying to achieve.
We need food. We're running out of food as a population.
Let's make, grow 100 tomatoes per vine. Why not?
Why not? I'm certainly not going to stop you.
I tell you why not, baby.
Oh, no.
So the two things that they do in order to make 100 tomatoes a vine, or particularly for this in the cotton industry.
Punch old women.
They punch them. That's the only way to make cotton. Honestly, they literally might as well. That would almost be better. So they give out these seeds. You buy these seeds very cheap.
Mm.
These like cotton seeds that grow, you know, infinitely
this is the
better.
Farmers who are making,
yes. So
growing
Monsanto
it.
Come around, they say like, hey, you want to be making 100 times more cotton? People are like, yes, please, yes. Obviously. So they get the cotton seeds, they grow this exquisite cotton for one season.
Mm.
It is illegal to seed off your plants, like the inherent, literally what nature is, like seeds. It's illegal to do that with a Monsanto thing, and so with a Monsanto plant, so you have to buy the seeds again every year from them. So it's the epitome of a Ponzi scheme, or like literally addiction, or being.
That's awful.
They become
and
everyone's...
this is the stuff that is being made into
our
clothes.
And so that's what our clothes are being made into, like 100%. Oh my goodness, Monsanto were selling it in the developing world. Colossal problem in India, like colossal, because they come around the next year to be like, you want more of that? Hey, the price has gone up. And the rate of suicide among like Indian farmers is like out of control because like nobody has anywhere else to turn.
I'll come around and seed their plants.
Yeah, we'll...
I don't know how. I'll Google it.
Oh my God. It's,
anyway, right.
It's
so that's
bleak.
One environment thing.
Yeah. And the other one is, so the other one is the human impact of them being trapped in them. And the other one is the actual environmental fact of like the chemical spread that you have to, because they're not, they're being so heavily pesticided that and people are hand spraying the chemicals, and the impact on both the environment, in the water, in the soil, there is the rate of like... Of
is it why the bees are dying?
Yeah, it's why everything is dying. Sure. So there's like kids being born with extreme cancers, like huge like mental issues, like directly because of the chemicals that are being sprayed on these crops.
Okay, I'm going to move past that and into the next point because
absolutely.
I can't cope.
No, okay, fantastic.
But France once tried simplifying time by using a decimal clock in which there are only 10 hours a day.
Oh, did it help?
No, it surprisingly did not work because you can't change the sun.
So when did they try that?
It was in 1793. 10-hour days with 100 minutes per hour and 100 seconds per minute. The only reason that they did it was to simplify time-related maths.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's 100 minutes.
100
I do
things. Think that all the time.
I know, it's so annoying.
It is mad that it's out of
mad.
Six.
Right, so hopefully we're fully refreshed.
Everyone's feeling refreshed and good.
To go back into...
just pop back into the horror.
Which we need to know. And it's horrible.
I think that is the thing. Is that you do need to... understand the extent of it because I think we are quite...
That's the only way that I personally am now going to go, no, I'm maybe not, I'll go to a charity shop. This
just
will
try and
definitely
remember
make
some
me do
of
that
what's
more.
Going on.
I will occasionally have to buy something, but like,
sure.
I'm going to try not to.
Absolutely.
But we'll talk about how you can do it.
I think I'm ready to move into how we've come as deep as we can go.
I'm so glad. Tell me how we can do it. This is the happy part.
Yes. Do you want to, have you got a happy thing?
I absolutely don't.
No. That's fine. You just jumped up with such excitement.
But like, no, mine were just like, shit. They were like...
No, that's fine. That's fine. Don't worry.
I have some tips. I remember about in 2010, there was a girl who I knew who was really into ethical fashion. And I remember distinctly thinking in my head when she said, well, I only buy from ethical brands. I was like, yeah. And also you're the richest person I know. So that's why. And I keep wanting to say a lot of cheesecloth, but that's got nothing to do with it. Cheesecloth is not necessarily... ethical, but it feels like a lot of linen, non-dyed, so it's like a gross colour.
There's a company called People Tree.
Yes.
And they are...
That's what I'm thinking. And they're quite expensive.
Oh, yes, quite expensive, but they're also the most, like, worthy, and it's so linen.
You basically look like you've both headed and are a part of a cult.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. It looks like at any moment you might be chosen as the next wife. But it's a shame because it is such a good brand.
Great
who
thing.
Is trying so hard.
I went on their website recently to research something, and I remember being like, oh, this is a lot better than it was
So
a few
it is
years
really
ago.
Trying, but it's
they're
still...
they're aware of their image. And I think because then... Back then, it's before this, almost sadly before this tragedy, when it was really thrust into the public eye, it was the same as being like vegan. You'd be like, all right. Whereas now it's like, let's look after the animals sort of thing. Yeah. Because of that, I thought I'd try and find some tips for people who maybe aren't as wealthy as my friend is.
Yes.
And like, obviously the obvious one, so I'll just say it because it's obvious, is charity shops.
Yes.
And genuinely, if you go to nice areas, the quality in charity shops is excellent. And some of the vintage shops are too expensive, but then you get amazing like vintage sales. But that's something that everybody kind of knows. But hopefully the absolutely harrowing things you've heard will maybe make you reconsider charity shops.
We buy so much cheap stuff, but we buy so much of it that if you actually add it all up, you could have bought one good thing.
Well, that was the other thing, which was people say like about capsule wardrobes a lot, and it makes me want to throw up because it doesn't exist. It's not a thing. But there's so much to be gained, not just ethically, but like just in your whole life, to completely shrinking down.
Yes.
I mean, don't throw it away, donate it to charity shops, but like shrinking it down. So you've got loads of tat that you never wear and seeing exactly what you have that's good quality that will last for ages and then just adding to that incrementally. And I think, and then if you want something like new and interesting, like, vintage stuff or like an ethical shop, because then you're wearing less stuff, but you're wearing good stuff. But that's just tricky, isn't it?
It is really tricky. It's just a different sort of mindset. Apparently, the statistic is that last year, 30% of the new clothes that we bought went unworn.
There's a website called ethicalshop.org, and they have sales, and they also have like, you know, new in and like things like that. But there's the sales are really great. There's like hats for £6, you know, like really good quality jewelry for like a fiver.
What's it called?
Ethicalshop.org.
Oh, great.
And so there's lots of different things, not just clothing, but like everything. And then the other one that I liked, which is, I mean, it's like Zara prices, so that's it's doable. Like, you know, a really good bag is like £40, which is fine, is ethical.market. So go on ethical.market as well and just have a look because they've got some really great, and it's all different brands again.
And also consider, rather than just, I mean, obviously amazing, give it to the charity shop at the end of the road, but also consider things like organisations like Dress for Success or Career Wardrobe, which gives your, if you have any sort of work wear, it gives it to women who maybe can't afford
it. Oh, wonderful, yeah.
Clothes for an interview or, you know, and you can give things away to homeless that are in your own city or refugees or people in crisis.
Definitely.
Consider them going to somewhere like that. Consider like hiring outfits.
Like a, you know, a proper designer thing.
Yes, a proper designer dress. You go to places like Girl Meets Dress or Front Row or Chic by Choice and hire yourself like a proper, really expensive, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pounds designer dress.
Because then you're not, of course, because then, I mean, how many times are you going to wear that?
Exactly. Like, if you are and you're just going to wear it one time, consider doing that, or swapping, going to swap shops or having swap evenings with your friends or that sort of thing. And like, being like, and generally, you probably heard the expression like the 30 wears, hashtag 30 wears.
Oh, what's that? No.
As in 30, to say when you buy an item of clothing, do you think you could wear it 30 times?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and so buy it and be like, do I think I could wear it 30 times? If not, it's a no. I think you just have to start, we have to start thinking about everything in the form of our like, this is my black tie outfit.
Oh, that's good. I've just also like, there's a website that you can search for a brand.
Oh, yes.
And it's called ethicalconsumer.org. Now, it gets a bit hard because, like, unfortunately, it's not unfortunately because you need to know this as well, but I can't deal with it right now. Mm-hmm. But it involves everything. So it's environment, ethical fashion, also like animal testing and things like that, which is basically just like don't wear any makeup because they basically but you can just input in, and also like doing research about it. So like, for example, I was just thinking then, well, I mainly shop at Zara and Pull and Bear, and I recently found out that they're both the same thing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh God. But I don't really know about Zara and what it's like and what it does. So I want to like look into it. And then if I find out they're absolutely horrific, I will have to find something that's different. You can't really escape consuming things that are unethically sourced in some areas of your life.
When you're walking through the day today, you've come into so many things.
Yeah. But you have to have, if this is something that you're listening and you're like, you know, I could do that. Like, do it. Like, even if you just can't go like the whole hog, just do a bit, you know? Like,
one tiny change.
Yeah, I think it's really important.
Yeah, and I think it feels so horrifying and overwhelming hearing all about it. And I think I think about this cartoon I saw all the time that was a load of people stood on the edge of a cliff and all listening to a man speaking on a podium, but he's stood on one end of a plank that's way out over the cliff and they're stood on the other and they're all like really listening to him. But when you see it from the outside, you can see that obviously like if they all got off that plank, he would fall.
Oh, wow.
Can you visualise
that?
Yeah,
I mean, I fully visualise it, yeah.
Great.
What's the point?
The point is about how we...
I think Tom's with me there.
The point is about how we, the people, are like looking to that one person who's in charge of us. But if we all collectively...
Oh, they're nothing.
Got off the planet. Thank you, everyone. Yeah, it all came back around. Hey.
Yeah, I knew you'd. I knew it would be a good point. It was just like, genuinely couldn't understand.
So it's about being like, oh, actually, I can sort of vote with my feet. And if we all in the Western world stopped going into these shops and we stopped buying things at such a rate and we stopped making haul videos and we stopped doing those things.
Or even if there was just a dip.
Or even
a dip. It would panic people enough.
Absolutely right.
Yeah. Oh, let's do it, guys.
Can I talk about an amazing brand?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
Of course.
Please.
Imagine if I said no.
Well, you might.
No.
There's a really amazing brand called Son of a Tailor.
Okay.
And it's maybe popped up on your Instagram or things. They're really cool and trendy. And they are a company that make t-shirts and they make them to measure. So it's only online. They haven't got a store, and you put all your measurements in. You measure yourself. It's to the centimeter, to the half centimeter.
Jesus.
And they send you a completely custom made, tailor made t-shirt. And it's about sort of changing the attitude of being like, rather than buying, oh, I'll buy 10 t-shirts for a pound, being like, oh, I'll spend £40 and get a completely custom made t-shirt.
Perfect.
That I'll wear.
You want to wear all the time.
That I'll want to wear all the time. And so I think that's about like shifting our whole mindset.
So hard, isn't it? Because even after all of this, I was like, no one listening is going to go, cool, £40 for a t-shirt. But actually, when you put it like that, I will spend of a year, I will buy so many tops.
You'll buy so many things.
And they'll be like $19.99 or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I just need to buy two of those.
So two of those crap things that you bought. We've all been with a friend who's arrived and been like, I bought this.
Yeah.
And you're like, apart from that one moment where they showed people, you're like, we're never going to see that ever again.
No.
And actually £40 is, if you sort of measure it up into...
T-shirts and tops are so difficult to get right.
If you can actually get something perfect and that gets it right and you wear that all the time and if you can make sort of all your wardrobe that sort of thing of like, here's my perfect this, and I don't need to consume, and then you stop, you'd never look at another t-shirt again. But you wouldn't ever be entranced by like, oh, a £2 t-shirt, because you're like, well, I've got my white t-shirt that I wear all the time.
Like things like basics, like that.
Yeah, the basics. So if you can make all your basics really nice and you don't ever,
because
we buy cheap, those Primark jeans all the time, because they run out. Like they run out, they leave us.
We
constantly buy those again because they aren't good quality. Like
I'm on my like third one.
Exactly. So the cheapness of those £11 jeans, like we could have bought a £30 pair of jeans for exactly the same amount of.
Yeah, I was thinking as well, like if you're listening and you're working in fashion, or like you want to work in fashion, or you're in fashion, you're like, well, I need trend pieces of what I. Work in, and that's what I want. Rather than be like, oh yeah, you're not allowed to wear anything that is a brand, or you have to only wear like ethical clothing, I think instead focus on like changing the brands that you need to wear to make sure that they're ethical. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you're like a fashion writer, write pieces on it. Like if you're working in the industry and you're like maybe like at the moment quite low down, as you go further up the chain of command, start making changes. Like I think if everyone listening who works in fashion starts to do it, then in about sort of 5-10 years we'll have a completely different world.
Yes, even less. But if even everyone now goes on Fashion Revolution and looks up things to do, and even if they Google top 10 ethical brands and have a look and be like, oh, okay, I'll go on these websites now. Like, I'll consider some of these.
Like, and I've said it before, but like Nobody's Child genuinely is affordable and it is really nice. I've got like two dresses from there and I bought them 3 years ago and they still look pristine. Their whole point is to make fast fashion ethical rather than just affordable.
Yes, absolutely. And that is a huge goal.
Can't just be them. As you mentioned, this Fashion Revolution place has loads. When we say o'clock after a number, it's actually a contraction of stroke of the clock and comes from the 15th century references to medieval mechanical clocks.
So we say
12 stroke of the clock has now become 12
I wonder if it was the 12th o'clock. Stroke of the clock.
Yep, I immediately think that's correct. And also, you can try this at home. I know this one's going to blow Tessa's mind, so I'm really excited about it. And also, there's going to be a lot of questions as well. When you look at a clock, like an analog clock, and the second hand seems to freeze for a moment, your brain is actually generating a false memory and your perception of time stretches slightly backwards. This effect is called chronostasis. Tessa's face is amazing. She's lost it's so tense.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes. Look it up. chronostasis. I feel like...
when you look at your clock and you think it's stopped.
The second hand, it will freeze for a minute, but actually that's your brain filling in. Human eyes have constant breaks in perception when they flit about, and they're blind jumps, and that's what's happening because the clock doesn't... Well, it will never do that. Unless it's broken, then it will just do it really obviously and the time will be wrong. Yeah. So I feel like the point of the clocks was to like really uplift, and I've made Tessa, I think, cry.
It's too much, but I do love stuff like that.
It's interesting, isn't it? It's really interesting.
Yes.
Any more tips? Any more facts?
Only a slightly more proactive one, which Great. Was if you think you really care, it was about sort of getting your voice heard and, you know, tweeting brands, writing to people on Instagram, writing to policymakers, writing to the government, writing to people. And even if you only do send one email, you know,
that's better than what I've done for my life.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's better than Stevie's entire life leading up to this point.
I mean, well done, guys.
Yeah,
you've
smashed it. Consider getting yourself out there.
Excellent. Excellent. What an interesting episode that was.
Yes.
I mean, it was like a full lecture from you, but in like a really great way.
Thank you so much.
I feel like you've given a lot today. Look it up. Start researching things that you understand what is going on. Go to the ethical.market, ethical shopping, like start to make little changes if you can, because I think it's a great idea. I'm definitely going to think twice before I go,
if you can see,
I want to buy a sweater from Zara.
Yeah, amazing. And if you can see like young British designer on Instagram or someone who's made it themselves in this country, like, you know, if you can see it, support them.
Yeah, champion them.
Champion
with
them.
Your words, champion. If you can't, with your money.
Absolutely. With your words, if you can't, with your money. But also do try and reset that mindset. They're like, I don't have the money.
Yes,
of course. I have to buy these cheap.
But also do spend money.
But also, we want your money. No, just reset that mind thing of like, you feel rich in those places, but then actually at the till in Primark, you've easily spent, you know,
so much more money. And you bought like, yeah, like and you come an owl like, that's a pillow.
Exactly.
Like,
oh, every time.
Every time I bought a pillow-shaped owl. No, an owl-shaped pillow.
So it's also
a shaped,
you know,
owl.
Just imagine.
Imagine.
Yeah, so best of luck this week.
Yes, have a good week.
Let us know if you've... let us know if you do like any brands that are doing good stuff.
Let us know if you do like a blog on ethical fashion, or you like, if you run, if you make stuff yourself.
If you've ever made your own clothes, if you've...
Have you ever seen... anyone make clothes?
If you've ever been outside, we want to hear.
Breathed. We want to know. No, but that would be really interesting because then we'll give you a shout out in the next podcast. Yes, tweet us at Stevie M. The S is a 5.
At Tessa Coates. No numbers here.
And email us podcast@thedebrief.co.uk. And do please give us a rate and review if you like the podcast. Tell some pals. Let's get the word spreading and just get ethically shopping, guys.
Namaste.
Namaste. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.